Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Because we have been saved, because we have been changed, because we have been brought to new life, we've been regenerated, we've become new creatures by the power of God. Our salvation and His work in our lives should reveal itself in how we deal with our temper, how we deal with our anger, and how we deal with our wrath. Verse 26 tells us, be angry. A lot of people are saying, that's what I've been waiting for, Bill. That's the message I've been waiting for. I just want to be angry. And you should be glad to know that that is an imperative. It's a command. God commands you to be angry. Just like He commands you to be holy. It is an imperative. It's a positive command for us to express anger. This is quoted from Psalm 4, verse 4. The psalmist quoted it in Psalm 4, verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah. Think about this. Think about what the psalmist is saying. That word angry refers to a deep-seated determination and a settled conviction. Matter of fact, it comes from a word that means red-faced. Ever notice when somebody's angry? Their face gets real red. Gets like a tomato sometimes. Deep-seated determination. Red-faced. The word anger, angry, can speak to an emotion that is good or bad, depending on one's motives. Righteous anger is a God-given emotion that can help if you use it biblically. You have to use it biblically. Not all anger is wrong. If we're commanded to be angry, it must mean there are some things that should cause us to be angry about. And before we dig any deeper, I want to remind you of the context of Ephesians 4. It was about the unity of the church. And then Paul gets in to put off the old man, renew your mind, and put on a new man. So keep that context in mind, that you don't take be angry and compartmentalize it by itself. It's in the context of unity in the church and putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Jesus Christ is our example. He expressed anger. Look at Mark 3. Mark 3, verses 1 through 5. And he entered the synagogue again. So we're in a religious setting. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them, notice, with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Here's Christ. He wants to bless somebody. They have a withered hand. And the religious people are watching to accuse Christ, to bring charges against him. And it says Christ was angry. And he was angry with religious folk. He was grieved by the hardness of their heart. Anger in a religious setting. Turn to Matthew 21. Keep in mind these episodes of anger. It's not husbands angry with wives, wives angry with the kids angry with the dog angry with the neighbor. This is Christ angry in a religious setting with religious people. He's not going after homosexuals. He's not going after lesbians. He's not going after drug addicts. He's not going after, you know, all those kind of people. He's going after people in a religious setting. Matthew 21, beginning at verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who had bought and sold in the temple. Once again, the religious setting. He bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Angry at religious people. Selling merchandise in the temple courts. Wheeling and dealing and scheming. And he drives the point home in John. John embellishes on this episode. John 2, verses 13 and forward. Notice, like I said, where the anger is directed at and who it's directed at. Many times church folk think it's those people out there. Those people, you know, with those real wicked sins. Not like the cute, nice sins that we got, the ones we dip in gold. John 2, verses 18 through 17. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Realize, here we are celebrating the festival. It's Passover. We're celebrating the atonement. Religious setting. Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers. Notice, doing business. They're doing business. And if you don't know what the business was, in the Old Testament you read about the sacrifice had to be perfect, no blemishes. Well, when you came up to Jerusalem with that lamb or that turtle dove or whatever you was bringing to the sacrifice, they were finding the blemish. You was trading in that used lamb for a new lamb. Context, doing business. Verse 15, so much for the gentle, compassionate, feminized, sentimentalized, romanticized Christ. When he made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple. The temple where you were supposed to meet God. Where God was. The presence of God was in the temple. makes a whip of cords, drags them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he pours out the changers' money and overturns the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Notice verse 17. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. That's righteous anger. Zeal for your house. Excitement of mind for your house. Fervor of spirit for your house. Fierceness of indignation over what's happening in your house, Lord. Righteous anger shown the people that were taking and abusing the house of God. His zeal, the disciples noticed. Zeal for your house has eaten me up. And I'd ask you this question. Do you have a zeal for the house of God? Do you have a righteous anger towards those who would take the house of God and change what is supposed to go on in the house of God to merchandise, to selling water, selling oil, selling cloths, prayer cloths? Send me the money in the mail, your prayer cloth will arrive. We got this water from Jerusalem, Jersey City. We got this oil, this olive oil, Valvoline. Is there a righteous anger for what's going on in the house of God? That's the zeal, that's the anger that the Lord is talking about in these texts. Be angry. Christ was angered by anything that misrepresented or maligned his Father or the true worship of God. Do you get angry when you hear of all the false doctrine, of all the false teachers, of all the false prophets misrepresenting the God of the Scripture? Does that make you angry? When God is portrayed, well, Christ in particular, as this effeminate, romanticized, sentimentalized figure, you don't get that anywhere in the Scripture. You don't get it in the lives of any of the prophets. You don't get it in the lives of John the Baptist. You don't get it in the lives of the apostle. The apostle Peter, who was cowering from a little girl, is filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he gets out there telling men of Israel, this Christ who you murdered, that's your Messiah. Righteous anger. Not anger, oh, I was offended. He looked at me the wrong way. She didn't like my hat. She didn't like my shoes. That's not the anger that's talked about. You burnt the toast. You didn't put the plates in the right place. You didn't do... That's not the anger. He's talking about righteous anger over the things of God. There are things that should make us angry. Do you become angry when a little child is murdered? Does that make you angry? When they rip children out of wombs of women and throw them in garbage cans, does that make you angry? When a thief breaks in the house and murders an old woman and old man, does that make you angry? The family being undermined all around us, does that make you angry? We should be angered when the weak, when the poor, when the less fortunate are mistreated. We should be angered by assaults on God's word and the doctrines of faith. People today, you can say anything you want about the word of the God and the And it's like, oh, that's okay. He mentioned Jesus Christ. Somebody sneezed and he said Gesundheit. He must be a Christian. It's like the doctrines of grace don't matter. Justification, sanctification, glorification, election, the coming of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, the law, grace, just ripped to shreds today in our land. But then again, the scripture says that the people are going to heap on false teachers to themselves to tickle their ears, to get what they want. And you know what they want? They want to be left alone in their sin. I roll up, get a little dose of some your best life now or something cute and cuddly. Rub your toes, here's a Hallmark card, get on your way. Leave me alone in my sin, living wickedly. They don't want a man of God proclaiming the word of God. They don't want a man of God that's going to be angry. But, as we're going to say, as we're going to see, sin not. Sin not. Does any of those things that I just mentioned make you angry? When you see what's going on in the church of Jesus Christ? The church of Jesus Christ is the bride of Jesus Christ. And she is just being dragged through the mud, and the people in the pulpits are just like, oh, well, just make sure you put that money in the basket. You think Christ is angry about it? You need to read Revelation 2 and 3. If you think Christ doesn't get angry with the church of Jesus Christ, where he says, if you don't repent, if you don't forsake your sin, I'm going to come and I'm going to put that lampstand up. And I didn't hear about no revivals in Sardis and Thyatira and Laodicea. There's nobody flocking there. Because Christ was angry. And he put that lampstand down. And the Lord is not going to put the lampstand out in America. It's out already. That's a sure sign that it's out. The people don't even know it's out. Be angry and sin not. Anger can either be kindled by hell or by the fire from the altar of God Almighty. This tongue can set on fire one way or the other. By hell, and you wind up with a Hitler and Stalin and every other psychopath that came down the road, set on fire by hell, or set on fire by the altar of God. What do you think that's about in Isaiah? They took the coal, cleansed my lips, here I stand. What do you think Elijah was doing when he's mocking the false prophets of Baal? Where's your God? Maybe he's on vacation, maybe he's sleeping, he's taking a little snooze. And then at the end, he says, kill them all. Righteous anger. The tongue set on fire by hell or from the altar of God. How can a flame of tongue of Hitler or the fire of God can be spoken through a Jeremiah or John the Baptist or an Elijah or Zechariah? Righteous anger. The person who cannot be angry at evil is a person who lacks passion for good. If you don't get angry at evil, there's no passion for good. No passion for good. Would you be righteously angry if somebody broke in your house and slaughtered your family? Would that cause anger to rise up in you? Do you not have a passion for good? Do you not have a passion for the things of God? Do you not have a passion for His Word, for His Bride, for Jesus Christ? Righteous anger. And once again, I'm going to remind you, the context is the old man. Put off and put on the old man. See, did you notice, before you were a Christian, before you were regenerated, before you were born again, you weren't angry about sin. You wasn't angry about different sins mentioned in the scripture. You weren't angry. I didn't care when I was a pagan about the church of Jesus Christ. I didn't care about false doctrine, false prophets, force anything. I didn't care about any kind of sin mentioned in the scripture. There was no hatred of sin. And let me say this about being angry. The number one person you should be angry with is that person looking back at you in the mirror. Angry with that sin. It's easy to throw bombs at, this group, that group, this party, them, those, this, that, the other thing. Look in the mirror. Be angry with the sin in your life. With the lukewarmness in your life. With the lack of prayer. The lack of devotion. With the gossiping. With the backbiting. You angry about that stuff? Or you angry, that group and these people and those people and that and these and them and that. Righteous anger. Be angry is a command. But notice, sin not. Sin not. Be angry and sin not. Keep in mind that we're rarely angry at the right people, about the right things, at the right moment, in the right way, for the right reasons, for the right amount of time. You don't know how many times over 30 years in the faith that I've heard people say, I'm righteously angry. And then they tell you what it is, and it's like, no, you're not, you're angry. You're making an excuse for your anger. And then you're sinning even more by calling it righteous anger, trying to justify it. What kind of sin are we talking about? Most of the time, our anger is selfish in nature. We're angry because we're hurt, we're offended, we feel slighted. See, all those sins that I mentioned to you about being angry, they had nothing to do with me personally. Now, when it's personal, then I'm hurt, I'm offended, I'm slighted. That's how you know the difference with anger. There's righteous anger, the things of God. His justice is offended, his righteousness is offended, his holiness is offended. Sinful anger is, it's about me. You said that to me. You didn't give me that opportunity. I wanted you to do this. You didn't do that. That's how you know the difference. Selfish in nature. Usually our anger is focused on how we feel. Not what the Bible says. How we feel. It's always self-serving and self-defensive. But I could have, but she didn't know that I would have, but I could have, but I didn't, but I. It's just all of these excuses. That's self-serving anger, self-defensive. What has been done to the self, not necessarily what has been done to God. All those sins I mentioned to you before, that has to do with God. That has nothing to do with me. I'm just a mouthpiece speaking. All the sins I mentioned earlier, that's in relation to God. That's how you know the difference. And the anger that is selfish always leads to a hateful spirit. And it eventually leads to the judgment of God. Look at Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Here's anger. Christ is warning you. You'll be charged with the same commandment as thou shalt not murder. But yet here's Paul saying, be angry. But now look in Ephesians, down at verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice. It's like, Paul, what are you talking about? You're schizophrenic. It's yin, it's yang, it's one, it's zero, it's up, it's down, it's black, it's white. What are you talking about, Paul? He's talking about what I explained. Righteous anger. Not this self-serving, anger. I didn't get what I want. I wasn't number one in the class. I was number two. I didn't get the girl. I didn't get the boy. I didn't get the job. I didn't get the car. I didn't get the boat. I didn't get the tennis court. I didn't. And they would and they could have, but they didn't. That's the sin we're talking about. My wife didn't say she's sorry. She wanted to be sorry. He didn't say he was sorry. She burnt the toast. He burnt the roast beef. But it just goes on and on and on and on. That anger is the sin that you're to put off. You need a little of that righteous anger. You need here's an old word, some moxie. A little bit of moxie. A little bit of steel in your backbone. Some of the old timers going, yeah, I know that word, moxie. The new, younger people are like, moxie, what is that? Is that like moxie or something? A little bit of moxie. The difference between anger that is good and anger that is sin is the focus of the anger. It's the focus. It's the focus that God is offended in all of his glory. Or is the focus you're offended? That's the difference between righteous anger and the anger that you stand in judgment for. That makes all the difference in the world. That's why you can see me one moment, I'll be like a fire-breathing dragon, and the next moment, I'm like, hey, okay. It's because of the focus. Here's the litmus test. Am I angry because this is happening to me, the wonderful one? It's happening to me, I've been insulted, or does my anger exist because a terrible wrong is being done to someone else? First and foremost, God. Secondly, your neighbor. When I mentioned about all the different crimes that take place between men and women and boys and girls and children. Where is the focus? I'm angry because this is happening to me, or does my anger exist because a terrible wrong is done to someone else? First and foremost, a terrible wrong to God Almighty, to Jesus Christ, and to his church. And secondly, to your neighbor. What do you think it means about love the Lord your God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength, and to love your neighbor that way? You'd be highly offended. I bet you'd be angry if something happened to your wife or your children. You'd probably be angry if you went outside in the parking lot and there was a brick through your window. Probably be angry about that. And if it happened, don't come to me. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. Anger becomes sin when it's centered on the self. When allowed to grow into resentment, anger then grows into resentment, and it plots the downfall of another. My brother was confessing it in the Bible study when he was a pagan. Somebody did him wrong, he was going to get him, right, boy? You were going to get him. You were going to do whatever possible to take him down, take her down. You were going to get even. You do the same thing. Just look at somebody in a marriage. You get into the silent treatment. I'm not talking to you. Well, I ain't talking to you. That's anger turns into resentment. It's all about what's happening to you. It becomes sin, centered on self, allowed to grow into resentment, plots the downfall of another, becomes vindictive, and then eventually consumes your life. That's why it's so devastating as a Christian to have unforgiveness in their heart, because it leads to all of that. That's why when somebody sins against you, man, forgive that person instantly. Instantly. Or it's going to turn into consuming your life. People that are angry with people, they think that it's hurting that person. It's hurting you. That person don't even know you're angry with them. Nor do they even care. But you just put the chains on yourself. And you become all angry. Paul says, put it away. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the sun go down. We have the command, be angry. We have the caution, sin not. Now let's look at the condition. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Get a handle on your anger and get a handle on it quick. Like I said, as soon as it happens. He's telling you, don't let it go down. Don't go to bed with it on your mind. Confess it. You don't know how many people I counseled in marriages. It's like one day turns into a week, a month, a year, a decade, 30 years later. Something that she burnt the bacon 35 years ago and I'm still married. It's like right then and there, before you go to bed. If you can't go to bed for a week, don't go to bed. Whatever that is. And one thing is for sure, if you're both playing the silent treatment, it's definitely going to go down to the next day because neither one of you has confessed your sin to each other. Just, honey, I'm sorry. To your boss, to your neighbor, to people in the congregation. Hey, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Anger turns into resentment, resentment into bitterness, bitterness turns into a root of self-righteousness. I'm right in being angry. And that'll choke the life right out of you, choke the peace out of you, choke the joy out of you and everyone around you. There's nothing worse than a miserable Christian. Nothing worse than a miserable Christian. It's like you want to witness to somebody. It's like, oh, if that's me, the Christian, no thank you. I think I'd rather go to hell than live like you. Anger, resentment, bitterness. Look at Ephesians 4:27. Nor give place to the devil. I'll be wrapping it up soon. Give me a couple of minutes. Don't give place to the devil. That's serious stuff. You want to play with anger? Don't give place to the devil. When we take anger to bed with us and allow it to grow and simmer in our hearts, we give Satan a beachhead. That's what that little word place is. No, give place to the devil. It's like he's landed. It's like D-Day, they landed on the beach. You got anger, Hasatan, the devil. He sets up a beachhead right there, he got you. You're done. You're done. Until the Lord brings you through it. Our Lord had strong words about anger. I read to you. He was comparing that with murder. Proverbs speaks over and over and over again about anger. Proverbs is littered with verses about anger. If you play with anger, I'm going to tell you point blank, you are playing with fire. You are playing with fire. If you leave here today with anger in your heart, you're playing with fire. You're going to get burnt. Or you're burnt already. You're burnt relationships, burnt marriages, burnt relationships with children, burnt jobs, burnt. It's burning. Have you heard that thing? Burning. Burning with anger. Burning. Oh, I can't wait to go. And you know, it just comes out. It'll just flow. Like somebody always opens a water tap up. That's not the anger the Lord's talking about. A righteous anger. For those that are bringing the Church of Jesus Christ into slavery and bondage. Those that are perverting the Word of God. And the horrible crimes that we see around us. You're to be angry. If you're not angry, if you see somebody getting mugged outside when you leave, are you going to do something about it? Are you angry enough to do something about it? Or it's like, oh, I got to get to, what's that place? Sonny's barbecue place? Sonny, you just got to plug the checks in the mail. Will you be angry about that? What in the world are you going to be angry about? I talk to Christians about false doctrine. They're like, ah, well, you know, they talk about Jesus. It don't matter. False doctrine, false prophets. That was the thing that Christ had the most problem with. Religious folk. And guess what? We're in a church with a bunch of religious folk. So are you doing those things that I mentioned? There's no concern for the word of God being perverted. You don't care. False doctrine, false prophets. It doesn't matter. May the Lord grant us all a righteous anger. A righteous anger. But that we do not sin. You angry? Get that taken care of before you go to sleep. If I see you here next week with bags under your eyes, I know what was happening this week with you. And nor give place to the devil. Serious words. And Father, I would pray that if there is anger in our hearts, bitterness, resentment towards anyone, that we would repent of it. And if we need to go to anybody to tell them that we've repented of that and ask their forgiveness, I would pray that we would do that. I would pray, Father, that you would give us a righteous anger, even as you have a righteous anger. That somehow, Father, in this culture of Jesus' love, 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 there's no room for righteous anger. But the scripture is full of righteous anger. But let us just be sure it is righteous anger. And it's not a selfish anger that I've been offended in some way, shape, or form. And Father, we know that it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that it's even possible. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we would even care about the things of God and who He is and who the Church of Jesus Christ is. It's only because of the Holy Spirit that produces that zeal. And Father, lastly, grant us repentance. And not only repentance, but forgiveness. And not only forgiveness, but a forsaking of anger. That we would be quick to confess it and forsake it and to put it away. And Father, we thank you for all of Scripture, for the whole counsel of Scripture. And not necessarily just those nice verses that we like. But that we would see you in all of your glory, in your panim, in your many faces. Panim, many faces of God. We see you in your love, your mercy, and your grace. But we would also see you in your anger, and your justice, and your righteousness.